The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 14th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, it's such a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. I'm going to adjust my glasses here. So hold on a second here. It's so wonderful to be able to see again and read again. I had cataract surgery, and I am really excited that I can look at my script and I can read it. So wonderful, wonderful. Joining me in the studio, and I'm looking right at her, is my dear friend and published author, Elaine Rock. You heard it right. Her name is Elaine, and she does rock. Elaine has just completed her biography on Barbara Dusty Rhodes, who is a former flight attendant who fought against the airline industry's sexist working conditions and regulations in 1950 and 1960. And you know something, when you start thinking 1950, when women stood up then, it was really a big deal. You have no idea what a big deal it was. It was such an honor that I was able to interview Dusty Rhodes in 2017. She made her transition a little bit after we did the interview. And she left an amazing legacy. And I'm so happy to be able to talk about her and the book that Elaine finally completed. And I want to give her a big shout-out and congratulations. She gave me a copy of the book. She did an excellent job. It's a wonderful story, and I'm wonderful, wonderful story. And I'm looking forward to hearing about what she has to say about some of her challenges and how she went about writing the book, how she met Dusty, and how she ended up coming to the studio in 2017, which was amazing. I remember when I had the conversation with Elaine, and she was telling me that they were writing this book. And I said, oh, God, you got to come on. And I says, well, she says, but we're not published yet. I says, well, I don't care. I want to hear the story. I mean, I didn't know that all this stuff was going on in the airlines. And it fits so perfectly with Women's Spaces, because Women's Spaces is dedicated to ordinary women doing the extraordinary things. And I don't think one can deny that Dusty Rhodes was definitely an ordinary woman, but she did some extraordinary things. And not only was she ordinary, she was very beautiful. And she really, really turned the airlines around and also helped so many women that were being really, really being oppressed on so many levels. That, you know, when we would get on an airplane and you look at these stewardesses, you think, oh, how pretty, how perfect they are. But you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And this woman was really a one-woman show that brought it forward. So it's really quite a legacy she's left. Well, I have a few announcements to make, but the first thing I want to say is I want to do some condolences here. My dear, dear, dear friend, Gloria Faye Robinson, 83, a beloved community member and co-founder of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development, passed away peacefully about 2 weeks ago. For over 50 years, her activism shaped Petaluma and Sonoma County. A devoted mother, she was inspired by her children to advocate for black representation in schools and community spaces. You know, Robinson was on many boards and committees, including the Sonoma County Commission on Status of Women. In fact, I think she was one of the first members of the Status of Women when they first got together. She was also named, and I didn't know this, she was also named Petaluma Citizen of the Year in 1980. 2. And she survived by her beautiful partner, Joel Allen. And I've met Joel several times. I mean, they were just such a loving couple, and he took such good care of her. She had 4 children, 4 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. My goodness. And this is very important. A celebration of her life will be held on Thursday, April 17th at 2 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Building. Donations may be made to the Gloria Faye Robinson Scholarship Fund or the American Cancer Society. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the Gloria Faye Robinson Scholarship and at Petaluma Blacks for community development for the American Cancer Society. Gloria is going to be missed. I'll tell you, Gloria is going to be missed. She's just one of these women that when you knew her and you got to know all about her, it was... She was just beautiful. She was just, that's all I can say, is she was just a beautiful woman. And I'm going to miss her. And what was so sad for me is when I got out of the hospital, I was feeling kind of dippy, and I wasn't taking any phone calls. And wouldn't you know it, Gloria called me to see how I was doing, and I wasn't doing very well, so I didn't call her back. And the next thing I knew that she passed away. So one thing it taught me once again is never forget to tell those you care about how much you love them and how important they are to you. And also, when we look at the world today, you know, when we look at the world, I mean, Gloria Robinson made it to 83. I'm 85 now, and I know the clock's ticking. Who knows when I'm going to leave this planet and make my transition? It's just one day at a time anyway. But, you know, we live on a planet. We live on the planet Earth. And by the grace of the great creator, the great woohoo, whatever you want to call it, I don't believe in this God in the sky. I believe in the energy and we live on this planet in the middle of the divine universe with all this energy going around us. And, you know, Ken and I, we drove to the studio. We were a little bit late and we were rushing, you know. But I looked around. I saw all these cars, you know, all these people are going. And I thought of our ancestors when they first left Africa. They walked. I often wondered, you know, how did they do it? How did they invent shoes? I mean, what did they do? How did they get across there? And then I think about, you know, all of a sudden I saw this kind of airplane going by, you know, up in the sky. I heard it as we're driving on the freeway. And I thought, oh, my goodness, look at this wonderful invention. It's called an airplane that we can go up in the air. We can defy gravity. You know, amazing, amazing, the brain. And it's so interesting to me that, you know, here we have this airplane, and instead of looking at the graciousness of it, that it can get us, transport us back and forth very speedily, you know, we have to add bombs to it and drop it all over the world. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me anymore. You know, we live on this divine planet. We live in the middle of a universe. I mean, if you look at the Hubble telescope and they show you the Earth, it looks like a little pinpoint. You're lucky you can even see it. And not only that, we have enough nuclear power to just blow us out of the universe, you know. And yet here we are. We're still warring. You know, now I just, Elaine Rock handed me a list of all the different words all of a sudden the government is taking out of all their literature. I mean, why are those things, when we have children starving, when we have children being bombed in countries, why is the words, what words are printed so important? It just doesn't make sense to me anymore. And, you know, I think we're in a wake-up mode here, that we're really waking up to see that if we don't come together as a people, as a country, I mean, we're just going to destroy ourselves. And that's very sad. That really is. That's very sad. And all you mothers out there, you know, you have these precious babies, you know, and you put these little things on their head, little flowers, and everybody goes goo goo gaga. Well, I got news for you. Being a mother is more than that. You have to stand up for peace. You have to stand up to make sure your child's getting educated, getting medical care, all the things that are necessary to live a productive life. But for some reason, we just forget about those things. And then all of a sudden, when something happens, like what's happened with the last election, all of a sudden everybody's out in the streets. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's hope it's not too late. But we must all gather. We must all stand as Americans. I mean, and 98% of us, well, 99% of us are all immigrants. I mean... I'm not Native American. Elaine's not Native American. So we came from lands far and far away to come to this beautiful land. So lots to think about. Well, to get ourselves educated It's called, there's going to be another march. It's put on by Indivisible. If you remember, I had them on the air about two shows ago. Amazing, amazing group. It's called A Revolution for All, Not Just the Few. And join the march, and that's going to be on April 19th. And that's going to be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that's going to be in Old Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa. And I think this is going to be another one of these global marches where on the 19th, everybody's going to be getting together all across the country. So, and if you want to get any information, all you have to go is to indivisiblesoco.org. That's IndivisibleSoco.org/. And one of the things I want to remind you that all the information I give is always on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. And one of my favorite groups is partnering with LOCN, Sonoma County Latino Leaders, and that's going to be, there's going to be a presentation, it's going to be a Zoom, it's going to be in both English and Spanish. Amazing. LOCN, like I said, they're Sonoma County Latino Leaders, very active group. A shout out for them for all that they do. It's going to be happening Monday, April 28th from 6 to 7:30. And if you want to find out about it, you go to LWVSSonomaCounty.org. That's the League of Women Voters, SonomaCounty.org, which is LWVSonomaCounty.org. And you can get all the information, you know, though you have to register. It's going to be a Zoom, and it's going to be, it's called the ins and outs of running for elected office. And I think that's very important because we, you know, the first thing on our, the first words in our Constitution is we the people. And to me, that means we the people must be involved. And in the, here, this, these two groups, the League of Women Voters and LOCN, are going to be presenting information so people can find out, at least make an informed decision of what it's actually like to run for office, what you have to do, and how you do it. So I'm really excited about this. Not that I'm running for office, but I'm definitely going to watch because it never hurts to learn. I mean, I love learning. Learning is amazing. So there's a lot going on there. You know, there's no reason that people have to be bored, especially in today's age. There's so many things that we can do. Well, like we do every Monday, we do our little segment called Our History is Our Strength. And, you know, people say, you know, it's really interesting, Lane. Why do you do Our History is Our Strength? Because it's so important that we know whose shoulders we're standing on. You know, for example, if I get discouraged, like all of a sudden maybe someone sent me a hate letter or someone's criticizing the show or saying, blah, blah, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I do this? All of a sudden I think about Ida B. Wells. I think of her going into the Deep South and reporting on lynchings, and I say to myself, wow, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, or I think of Maya Angelou, what she went through, and then she came out to be one of the most prolific poets in the United States. And you think of what these women have gone through. You know, it's amazing. Toni Morrison, I mean, the way she wrote and the risks she took, you know, I just think of these women and I put them close to my heart and I say, you know something, if they can do it, I can do it. And right now I want to do a shout out to spiritual teacher Marianne Williamson, who's really been doing a lot of talking and a lot of trying to get people to understand that all that's happening, we live in this beautiful universe and it's all a journey that we all need to go on together. And the feeling I get is we need to really hold each other's hands and say, we the people really believe in freedom. We the people really know that once we gather and come together, all things are possible. And I have a secret for you. Being 85 years, I would say for the last 50 years that I lived my life, my motto's been, there's nothing that's impossible if you put your mind and your heart into it. So that's a lot to think about, really is. Well, let's look at some of the women that, you know, some of the things they did. You know, very interesting, April 19th, 1977, 15 women in the House of Representatives formed the Congressional Caucus for Women's Issues. And why this is so important, you know, just like we don't have the ERA yet, the Equal Rights Amendment, women aren't even mentioned in the Constitution. But for these 15 women to come together and talk about women's issues was a phenomenon. And it was in 1977, which was the height of the new wave, the second wave of the women's movement. And what they accomplished was absolutely amazing. When you see how many women are now serving in Congress and in the Senate, and all kinds of different. I mean, look at women all over the place, on radio, on television. I mean, women have taken the lead. You know, they've taken the lead in so many ways. And this is a result of this magnificent caucus that these 50 women formed, because they were able to articulate what some of the issues that women had way back then. Well, now let's go and look at some birthdays now. Happy birthday on April 13, 1919, and she made her transition in 1995. Madeline Murray O'Hare, an outspoken atheist behind the 1962 Supreme Court's 8-1 ruling that organized Bible reading in public schools was unconstitutional. And the sad part about this woman, when I read this, was in 1995, she was kidnapped and later murdered by a former employee. What a sad thing. But when you think about this, you know, she fought and said that it's unconstitutional, and here we are in 2025, almost 100 years from when she was born, and what do we want to have Bible studies in school. I mean, we want the Ten Commandments on, you know, in front of our government offices. And when you look at the Ten Commandments, you know, our leaderships, most of them have violated all 10 of them. And I don't understand why they want to put them in. What are they want to be reminded that they're not doing a good job? They're not following what they're supposed to be following. It's so interesting, you know, all this religious furor. You know, we call ourselves Christians. Well, from what I understand, you know, and I'm a pretty good reader. I know how to read the English language. Everywhere they talk about Jesus, they say he was supposed to be the Prince of Peace, bring peace and love to the earth. You know, so I don't know who these Christians are talking about anymore. I actually was down in 4th Street in Santa Rosa one day, and they had a religious group out there. And I says, how can you promote war if Jesus is the son of love? And the young man said to me, oh, no, he's the God of war. And I thought, oh, boy, things have changed, you know, and you just try to figure out how did that happen. But it did. It happened. Anyway, here's another birthday, happy birthday, and this woman has influenced. I mean, the one person I know she influenced was Janis Joplin, and that's Bessie Smith. She began her career in 1902, a black woman. I mean, can you imagine the challenges that she went through? And she learned country blues from Gertrude Ma Rainey. And there was another, oh, my God, if you ever go on Facebook, just type in Ma Rainey. I mean, amazing. I don't know. They were lucky we had film at that time, who made 160 recordings, and she was billed as the Empress of the Blues. Her career declined by 1931 amidst economic depression and the advent of radio. That's interesting. I wonder why that happened, by the advent of radio would be, that's amazing. Well, our last birthday, and I'm going to take a quick drink of water here. You know, we're live here, folks. You know, we sneeze, we drink water, we do all kinds of things, but we're live. Thank goodness we're alive. Good to be alive, isn't it, Ken?
It's great.
Ken's all excited. You know, he's working. Before I do the last birthday, I'm going to make a little announcement here. On Women's Spaces, one of the things that I'm beginning to realize, or what's really been hitting me lately, is all the divisions, you know, man, woman, white, black, rich, poor, fat, thin, you know, blue eyes, green eyes. Everybody's divided into groups, right? And I thought to myself, by having Women's Spaces, by strictly focusing on women, in a way, when I'm listening to some of these white supremacists and some of the other things that are going on around our male population, I decided, you know, I want to put a segment in. I'm going to call it Men's Spaces. We're going to do it once a month. We're just in the process right now of developing it, so it's going to be maybe another month or so. But I think it's really important, you know, because there are so many wonderful, 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 wonderful men out there. And I want to do a shout out as far as wonderful men goes, and that's my dear friend Lee Pierce. Lee Pierce at one time was the vice mayor here on Santa Rosa City Council. He just finished his book. It's on Amazon now. It's called, you know, How to Survive as a Black Woman, Black Man in Sonoma County. So congratulations, Lee. And I have my fingers crossed we're hopefully going to be getting a hold of you. So if anybody out there knows Lee Pierce, tell him that Elaine Holt is looking for him to give her a call. I have an old phone book, and I have his phone number, and I found out it was disconnected. So any of you guys out there that know Lee Pierce, let him know that I'm looking for him. He's my favorite man, I'll tell you. Lee and I have known each other for almost 40 years, and we've been on a journey together. He's also a Pisces, so we think of ourselves as sister and brother fish. So that's a little bit about Lee Pierce, but a wonderful, wonderful, intelligent man. Okay, so my last person, and this woman, think about this. This woman was born in 1806, and she died in 1889. And what she did took place in 1840. Well, I'll tell you something. 1840, you were lucky if you heard a woman go peep, let alone do what this woman did. And that was Sarah Bagley, B-A-G-L-E-Y. Actually, she spells it the same way my Aunt Sarah spells her name, S-A-R-A-H. She was a prominent labor leader in New England during the 1840s. She was an advocate, listen to this, for shorter work days for factory workers and mechanics, and campaigned to make 10 hours, listen to this, campaigning for 10 hours of labor per day, the maximum time in Massachusetts. Can you believe she had a lobby for 10 hours a day? And you know what she was lobbying against? Because women had to go into the factories and they worked 16 hours a day, and most of them didn't even get a break. And they had to get permission to go to the bathroom. You couldn't just get up off your seat and go to the bathroom like we do today. You had to ask your supervisor if it was okay. And what if he was, it was generally a man, and what if he didn't like you and said no? I mean, just think of what these women went through. And here this woman, Sarah Bagley, stood up and said, no, we got to have 10 hours instead of 16. And guess what? She won. That was the first labor. But actually, in the United States, when we had all these immigrants coming in at the beginning of the 1900s, they all went to work in factories 16, sometimes 18 hours a day, plus children. By the time a child was 15 years old, they looked like they were 90. They worked them so hard. You know, and this is what they mean by make America great again. Let's go back to when we had no labor laws for children. I mean, they're taking education away. I mean, I'll tell you something. As a woman, I'm a great grandmother. I've got three generations I'm responsible for. You know, through my blood is running through. And all you women out there, you have to stand up. We give birth to the future. And what future are our children going to have? I mean, think about it. If we don't stand up and say enough is enough. I mean, it just, I don't know. Maybe sometimes I get on my soap opera a little bit too much. But you know something? It doesn't make any sense to me. It really does not make any sense whatsoever what we're going through right now. It's cruel and it's barbaric. You know, where's our compassion? I mean, taking away medical care, they want to get rid of Medicaid, they want to get rid of Social Security, so our seniors can't live. I'm on Social Security, for God's sake. You know, they want to take away Medi-Cal. They want to destroy anything that has to do with the environment. They're saying, you know, dig, baby, dig, or whatever their motto is, you know. You know, it doesn't make sense. And the only way we're going to stop it is if we stand up. And go back to the Constitution, the first three words, we the people. And if we the people do not let our needs know, be known, it's just going to continue on like this. I think of the 13 million people that stayed home and didn't vote. I guess this is all okay with you, you know. It's an amazing thing called democracy. And we need to look into it, and we need to explore it more, and we need to participate, because that's what makes it happen. Well, we're about ready to take a musical break, and then we're going to have Elaine Rock come on, and we're going to be talking about Dusty Rhodes, who is a former flight attendant who fought against the airline's sexist working conditions and regulations in the 1950s and 60s. And the song that we're going to sing is called Her Story, sung by Earth Mama. And I think that is perfect for this show today. So let's go ahead, Kent. Let's play Her Story, sung by my favorite woman, Earth Mama. Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Excuse us, folks. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, and we'll see what happens with the next song.
May you
oh, here she goes.
Walk in your life as a warrior, clear and loving and strong. May you walk in your life as a warrior, trusting the path you are on. May you walk in your life as a healer, clear and loving and strong. May you trusting the path you are on. May you walk in your life as a lover, clear and loving and strong. May you walk in your life as a lover, trusting the path you are on. May you walk in your life as a woman, clear and loving and strong. May you walk in your life as a woman, trusting the path you are on, clear and loving and strong, trusting the path you are on.
I like that, loving, be loving and strong. You know, oftentimes I would have been accused, oh, you're such a strong woman. Well, guess what? I'm not that strong. And we played the song, May You Walk in Your Life Like a Hero, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Choir. And we don't know what happened with that other song. But, you know, like I said, folks, we're live here. Anyway, for you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, the board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me in the studio is an ordinary woman who just did an extraordinary thing. She just completed the novel. I have it right in front of me on the biography on Barbara Dusty Rhodes. Welcome, Elaine Rock. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, this is your second time.
Hey.
You know, and before, you know, you gave me a little bit of a bio about you. And, you know, I thought instead of me reading the bio, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? Who is Elaine Rock? You know, how did you get involved with Dusty Rhodes? You know, what's your background, your education, and anything about yourself that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. It's almost that, like, everything was meant to be in many ways. I started out as a teacher of history, and one of the things I liked to teach most of all and had the opportunity to do so was modules in women's rights and discrimination, and this was in the 70s. And so I also taught about immigration. And then I moved to Northern California. There were a glut of teachers, couldn't find a job. So I managed to enter into the technology revolution right away. And I was working for banking industry and testing computers for the bankers and then training them. So I was able in both cases to satisfy my computer technology skills and learn about technology. I tested at the 99th percentile in technology as a kid in high school and language skills, and they didn't know what to do with me. They sent me to home economics courses anyway. I found many other women who've had the same story, actually. But then I got married to my husband. He was a writer, and we moved to Northern California. And that's when I started evolving in my technology jobs. And I finally got to a point where he was ill from the effects of Agent Orange from being in Vietnam, and I became a caregiver. I was editing some of his work. Anything he got published, I edited. And I decided that I was going to, and he suggested that I should write about my discrimination in the tech industry.
Well, that's interesting. So you were a teacher.
Yeah.
Then you went into be more technology.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, because your husband's ill, you're editing his work, and then all of a sudden you decide maybe you should be a writer. So what was that? Well, how what was that transition for you? And what kind of, where did you get the tenacity or the courage to continue with it?
Well, I continued with it for a little bit after he passed away, but then I met Dusty Rhodes at the Sonoma County Family YMCA swimming pool.
Oh.
And my friends were surrounding her, and I was just coming out of the pool, and they were saying, "You come on over. Well, you've got to meet this woman," and her partner Jean Montague, and so. This is a kind of unique story, but as I was walking down into the hot therapy pool, everything froze for me, and so did the people in the pool. It was like an ethereal bubble around the pool, and I heard a loud, booming voice say, "This is what you've been waiting for."
Wow.
And that all went away, and I came down, and I said, "Well, I better pay close attention to this." And here were these two women, their swimsuits and their earrings matched in color. They had full makeup on. Their hair was perfectly coiffed. And they were telling people what it was like to be a flight attendant in the 50s and 60s, where they had girdle checks in the operations room in front of everyone. They had to be weighed every time, and not every time, on a random time.
You know, that reminds me of a story. My Aunt Sarah loved Ziegfeld Follies. And Ziegfeld used to have a magazine that came out. And in the magazine was a little section with all the measurements, 36, 24. That's it. So it reminds me. I mean, this is what we were up against as women, and we couldn't wear pants.
Well, to the airline industry, appearance was the standard for them. They wanted all the women to look a little bit like Doris Day.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in reading the book, it's called Dusty Rhodes, Meet the Hidden Figure Who Really Ignited the Women's Movement by Elaine Rock. But one of the sections you had, I thought was, you know, while we're talking about the different things with women, one of the sections you had was that women couldn't do certain things before 1970, which is really interesting.
That's right.
You know, you couldn't open a bank account without a male consignor.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a checking account without a male signer. You couldn't obtain a credit card.
This is why Dusty and Jean were cash and carry most of their lives, because they couldn't get those cards, so they were used to cash and they didn't want to change their ways.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. When I had to get birth control, my first husband, he had to come to the doctor and sign it with me. He had to sign permission that I could have birth. I couldn't believe it. Why? I even asked him, why do I have to have him sign? It's my body. And the doctor said, well, no, that's the law. And then the wife's name was Mrs. Husband's first and last name, not her given name. And I remember my mother, she was always Mrs. Sol Holtz. She was never Betty Holtz. And when, after he passed away and she started being a little bit more independent again, she made sure everybody called her Mrs. Betty Holtz. So it's very, very easy. So go ahead, continue. So you met Dusty at the pool, right?
Yeah, and I'd asked her if any – I couldn't believe that here I am meeting a woman who was fighting for women's rights, and I'd been a women's rights advocate all my life since college, and I hadn't heard about her. And I now know that basically because women have been erased in history, that was probably one of the reasons. But she wasn't really all that demonstrable about her accomplishments. She was pretty humble about them. Anyway, I asked her if anybody had asked to write her story. And she said, well, there was one woman who wrote a chapter on her in a women's history book. Gail Collins wrote a little bit about her. I went home, researched about her. And I came back the next week. And I said, I want to write your biography. And she just grinned and said, I've just been waiting for somebody to ask.
Where did you get the confidence to do that? What was your motivation? I mean, what was your feeling?
I
mean,
well, I thought her story was more compelling than mine. To be honest, I mean, and I'm still going to write mine at some point, but I thought, no, this woman really accomplished something for women's history. Having been a teacher of history, that's where I wanted to go. So,
talking about that, how did your teaching influence your ability to write? Even though your husband was encouraging you, but how did what you've done with the technology and the teaching, how did that influence? Where did that thing? Even when you offered her that opportunity that you would like to do this, how did you know you could do it?
I just knew I could. My mother gave me a lot of confidence in my life. She was actually with my father in the Pentagon during the beginning of World War II, and she became the head of civilian training at the Pentagon and ended up outranking my father. And she was quite a woman herself. So she taught me how to become a confident woman. And I'm real grateful for her to this day.
Well, you know, you bring up a very important point that I want to emphasize on it. You know, you got this feeling like this is going to change your life, or this is something that, you know, this is something you need to pay attention to, like you said, because I've had those moments where all of a sudden you freeze and you say, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, and you don't know where that's coming from. You know, but at the same time, at the same time, you have to have that confidence.
Well, you do, and I always felt that it was just something internal in me that didn't want to quit and wanted to persevere in whatever it is that I thought was important to do. It was my destiny. After that introduction to the swimming pool and before I met them, I really believe it was my destiny to produce this book and talk about it.
Well, the book is amazing, let me tell you something. Yeah. Well, you know, to my listeners, I want to give them a little background. I always ask my guests to send me 5 questions. And this gives me an idea of what they're passionate about. But every once in a while, I come across a question and I go, wait a minute, what does this mean? So this is the question. This is what Elaine wrote to me. Let's talk about Dusty. A personal question. Was Dusty a feminist blazing her own trail entirely? And what did you mean by that? What were you saying? What were you trying to say in that one sentence?
Well, basically what I wanted to say is some people, well, let me put it this way. Some people lead, some people follow. Well, Dusty was in the perfect position to lead because she was not subject to the age rule. It actually started in 1953. And the union negotiated with the stewardesses at that point that anybody hired before 1953 would not be subjected to the age policy of being fired at age 32. So she had nothing to lose. She was grandmothered, as they all called it. So she had there was nothing for her to stop her from helping her colleagues, and they would all come to her and say, what are we going to do about this? She was a born leader in many ways, always president of some club as she was growing up. So basically, she wasn't the only one. There were others that were involved in the evolution of the stewardess rules, but she was a leader. She had a mentor, Nancy Collins, and Nancy was a flight attendant who was already in the union. She hadn't even joined the union at the point that rule for firing them at age 32 came out. But Nancy convinced her, join our union, be with us, because they were a perfect team. So then, you know, she when she was in the union, she became a leader and a lobbyist. So what she didn't know how good she could be as a lobbyist, but she ended up going to Washington D.C. unpaid and met Representative Martha Griffiths, who had never heard of the fact that the airlines were implementing a rule of firing them at age 32 from the former lobbyist. And she didn't even realize that they were also banned from being married, and was shocked by that. So as a result, really, Dusty and Martha Griffiths became very dear friends, close friends. And so she, you know, had some help. And that's the whole point. It was, yes, she was a leader, but she had help from many, many people and other stewardesses as well.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an amazing story. I want to ask Ken a question. Oh, yeah, we have it. We're going to take a little musical break right now, and then we're going to really get into a little bit more about Dusty and just the amazing story. And time goes by real quick, so let's just play maybe half of this song. But the reason I picked this song, it's our theme song, "The Woman in Your Life Is You," but this happens to be sung by Holly Near. And the reason that I'm picking that is because I'm listening to you and you talk about it was the woman in you that had to come out and speak out. You had to go with your own inner instinct to listen to that voice. And with Dusty, it was also her all of a sudden realizing, well, maybe I can do these things and allowing that part of herself too.
Well, and it was my curiosity to find out more about her.
Exactly. So it's an amazing thing. So let's go ahead and let's play this. And when we return, we will continue this wonderful conversation with Elaine Rock, who has written this wonderful, wonderful biography on Dusty Rhodes, there's a highlight on there, "Meet the Hidden Figure Who Really United the Women's Movement." And this is with the airlines, which was very, very, very interesting. So let's go ahead, Penn. Let's just play half of that song.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. The woman in your life knows simply what is true. She knows a simple way to touch to make you whole now. The woman in your life, she can touch so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. And who knows more about your story, about your struggles in the world? Who cares more to bless your weary shoulders than a woman in your life? She's trying to come through, a woman's voice with messages, woman's feelings. The woman in your life, she can feel so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your
Yes, the woman in your life is you. And every once in a while, you freeze and you hear this voice and it tells you, go onward and outward, forward, and do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, and there's also another thing. If you don't see somebody else doing something you think needs to be done, do it yourself.
Exactly. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I'm continuing my conversation with Elaine Rock, who's just completed her biography on Barbara Dusty Rose, who was a former flight attendant who fought against the airline industry's sexist working conditions and regulations in the 1950s and 1960s. Well, I cannot believe that they threw women under the bus at 32. You're over the hill, that you can't work at the stewardess anymore, and also that you couldn't wear pants. And it was very difficult. There was a lot of struggle trying to be part of a union.
You couldn't wear eyeglasses either, and so you wouldn't be able to be a stewardess if you did.
Oh, we wouldn't have made
right?
it.
No.
Well, you know what? You know, as we're talking about her, you know, what does Dusty's story tell us about resilience and persistence in the face of systematic discrimination like they had? I mean, it's hard to believe that all of a sudden, you know, at 32, when I think of myself at 32 years old, I mean, that's when I was, it was the height of your life when you're 32. You got all that wisdom and you're actually more beautiful than when you were in your 20s. So that was really very interesting. So talk about what the resilience and persistence, what that is all about.
Well, when you can't believe somebody is giving rules over yourself, over, like you said earlier, over your body, over your person, Dusty thought the rule was absolutely disgusting. She had grown up believing, she had grown up in the Midwest, and there's Midwest center, a sense of fair play. And her thing all her life was justice and fairness. And so when she saw somebody when she was younger that was suffering in school for some reason or another, she took them on. She put, you know, her arm was the wing over people who needed her. And she kept doing that. And so her persistence was based upon, is it fair? Is it right? If it's not, do something about it.
I like that. Is it fair? Is it right? If not, do something about it. Because right now, there's a lot of unfairness going on.
There sure is. And that's one of the lessons that the book gives to young women. Just yesterday, I was at the Petaluma Crafts Fair at the Elks Lodge, and some wonderful young women came up, and I would tell them a little bit about the story. And one of the most amazing things that happened was one lady said, I had no idea. Their jaws dropped. And they said, how did I not know about this before? Just like I was asking about myself. And she thanked me for educating her because she had no idea. And this happens all the time when I'm talking to people.
Well, you know, you talk about education. What's so interesing about this book that really just made me so proud, because you have an introduction by Molly Murphy McGregor, the founder of the National
That's
Women's
right.
History Alliance. Well, it was called the Project. Now it's called the History Alliance. And that was her story.
Yes.
You know, she was a high school teacher, and she was trying to teach women in history. All we knew was Amelia Earhart.
That's right.
You know, and we really did not know the accomplishments of women, particularly women of color and women who were like in the airlines. I mean, if you had no idea that what they were going through.
Yeah.
Well,
I,
you know, she,
same thing.
Dusty filed the first EEOC complaint. What does EEOC stand for?
It's the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission.
Okay, so that motivated her. What motivated her, and what impact did that, what she did, have on the broader women's movement that you can think of?
Well, what motivated her was the fact that there was no recourse for filing any kind of discrimination complaints. She was
really
right. It was the EEOC that was the first. I mean, she, as a lobbyist, she lobbied for the Equal Pay Act. She lobbied for Title VII, and Title VII is what actually created the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission in 1968, so that was where people who had a discrimination complaint, whether it was national religion, race, color, sex, they could go to the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission and file a discrimination complaint, which would then be reviewed by the commissioners and would then go out to court as they saw fit if they thought, yes, this is a valid discrimination complaint under the Title VII. So Dusty knew this. She kept her eyes on the fact that, well, the agency was going to open a year after the act, Civil Rights Act passed, which Title VII is part of. And so she knew the agency was going to open, and on the first day that it opened, she brought her friend Jean Montague, who was about to be fired for being age 32, and was the first. They were the first in the EEOC office. The clerks were unpacking their boxes still as they walked in, and they were all black clerks. They weren't expecting anybody to come in and give a sexual discrimination complaint. They were thinking it was all going to be racial. And they said, what? Then they discovered that there could be all kinds of religious kinds of discrimination that will come in. And in fact, that first year, one-third of the discrimination complaints were sexual discrimination.
You know, that reminds me when they had the first Jimmy Carter authorized a woman's commission. I believe it was Bella Apford that headed it. And one of the things that came up with particularly with lesbian women, right, that there was such discrimination, and people never thought in terms of discrimination with women. They always thought of it as color, but never gender or sex. It was very, very interesting that happened. So that was a big impact then on the women's movement.
Right. Well, Sonia Pressman Fuentes was the first female legal counsel for the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission, and she was absolutely distraught because basically the commission sat on all the sexual discrimination complaints and didn't move them forward. And she thought, what am I doing here if I'm supposed to be giving my legal opinion on all of these sexual discrimination complaints? So she actually was interviewed by Betty Friedan and finally told Betty Friedan that we need a women's organization similar to the NAACP for our rights. And so that's how National Organization for Women was born.
That's amazing. So it's all intertwined. So there was an amazing impact that she had.
Yeah, she knew that there were two stewardesses who filed the first complaint. She'd never met them. Actually, that was kind of interesting. I thought that was a 6 degrees of separation thing, and I introduced them both on Christmas Day of 2022 on a Zoom meeting.
That's amazing. Well, this is a big question. I'm going to combine it because, time is running out. Yeah. And that is, how do you think this story resonates with the challenge women are facing today at the workplace, and what would you like to let our youth know?
Well, like I say, that jaws drop when they hear of this, and I think that my book can tell them that, many of the challenges that women today have, they're worried about the future. I hear this from so many.
We're
all worried about it. And as things get more difficult for women to navigate their workplaces, there are the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission is still there. I don't know that you can file a complaint, but two commissioners were fired, and I don't know that anything much is going to happen there because you have to have a quorum for commissioners to be able to move anything forward. Last year, 88,000 discrimination complaints were filed. At the end of the year, there were still 53,000 left over. That's quite a backlog to get through.
And they're getting rid of DEI. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, Elaine. So what's your message to young people? And then last words, anything you'd like to let our audience know, how they can get a hold of you and all that other good stuff.
Sure. I want to say one last message that will remind you of the time that we interviewed with Dusty.
Oh, go ahead.
And that... Mm-hmm. I can find this. When we left the studio here, you asked Dusty, what do you want to say to other people that are listening in to this radio station about what they can do about sexual how they should feel about sexual discrimination and women's rights?
No, I said, and now that we're off the air, what would you really like to say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. And she said, don't let the bastards get them down.
That's a good message for young people.
Yeah.
Because right now we are struggling.
That's right.
Well, let us know really quickly how we can get the book and you have a website or anything that you'd like to say real quick.
I have a website, Elaine Rock, ElaineRock.com. And the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookshop.org. My Audible book will be coming out in about a month. And I am actually speaking at the Cloverdale Performing Arts Center on Tuesday, April 22nd, at 7 p.m. The tickets can be purchased at the CloverdaleHistoricalSociety.org. Enjoyed talking about the book. I encourage people to buy the book because it is a history of women's rights that I think every woman needs to know.
Well, Elaine Rock, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here on Women's Spaces. And once again, I want to congratulate you. I mean, I'm looking at the book. My God, it's a thick book. And I see all the wonderful things. Gloria Steinem even had a review on it. So thank you so much, Elaine Rock. And all the information that we've given will always be on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces.com. Well, folks, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Elaine Rock, author, biographer of Barbara Dusty Rhodes, who was a former flight attendant who fought against the airline industry, sexist working conditions, and regulations in the 1950s and 1960s. As I do at the end of every show, I remind my folks to remind yourself that our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And also, I'm really excited because every Monday at 11 o'clock, if you turn on, you can also listen to Women's Spaces. So that's a very exciting. And also, we have several podcasts. And if you go on www.womenspaces, you can find out all the information. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 14th, 2025.